First of all, thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. And we're always looking forward to being back. This is our home church. This is our sending church. And God allowed our family to be trained in this ministry. Let us all stand, please. We're going to give honor to the Word of God, Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. My prayer is that we could be a blessing. My wife is with me, and we just want to be an encouragement to you tonight. Psalm 78, verses 17 down to verse 20. Psalms 78, verse 17 to 20. We're going to read this responsibly. I will read verse 17, and you read verse 18. The last will be verse 20. Psalm 78, and verse 17. The Bible says, "And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness." Verse 19, "Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Verse 20 together, "Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" Let's pray. Loving Father, we praise you and thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. Lord, cleanse our hearts. I pray, Lord, tonight that you please use this message, use me to be a channel of blessing. Meet the needs of the people tonight. Holy Spirit of God, empower me that I could be an encouragement, that I could be help, that your word will give strength. I pray, Lord, that you please continue to bless every family, Pastor Esposito and the family, Pastor Myers and all the staff. Continue to strengthen each family here. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Thank you. Maybe you've heard a story of this guy by the name of Jack. He was hiking, climbing that steep cliff. And it happened to be he was walking too close to the edge and fell accidentally. And was able to grab some of the branch there. And to his surprise, when he looked down, it was like thousands of feet. So he started to panic and starts to yell, "Help, help! Is anyone up there? Help!" He heard a voice calling his name. "Hey, Jack, Jack, and who are you?" And the voice says, "I'm God." And so Jack said, "God, I promise you I'm going to go to church. I promise you I'm going to stop sinning. Could you please get me out of here?" God said, that voice, "Why don't you let go of the branch?" And so there was complete silence. And then Jack said, "Help, help, is there anyone else up there?" Amen. Hello. You've heard that story many, many times. But that is just like us. It's just like Christians. We're always doubting the Word. We're always doubting God. In our story here, in our text, the people of Israel is always doubting God. They're always doubting God's power. They're always doubting God's ability. Notice in verse 19, this is our text, verse 19, "Yea, they spake against God, they said..." I want you to read that two words, please. Can God help us? Can God provide? Can God protect us? Can God deliver us? A lot of the same with a lot of Christians I know. We're always asking God that question. We're always doubting God. Can God solve my problems? Can God heal? Can God help? Can God meet my needs? I want to preach tonight on that subject. Can God? Can God? Psalm 78 is a teaching psalms. And so there's some lessons to be learned here. So I'm going to give you three simple lessons tonight. Very simple message here, but my prayer tonight is that The message will be a help. The message will be an encouragement. I'm going to give you three simple points. First of all, I want you to see here a forgetful people. A forgetful people. In verse 1, the Bible says here, the psalmist said here, "Give ear, O my people." Israelites are called God's people. Just like us, Christians, believers, we are also called God's people. And so as God's people, we should be relying upon God. We should be trusting upon God. We should be serving God. We're God's people. But here, I want you to see verse 10. Psalm 78, verse 10. "And they kept not the covenant of God." They kept not the covenant of God. It means these people are covenant breakers. Covenant breakers. The Israelites, they've abandoned their worship, and they were acting like they were heathen. Let me say this tonight, Christians. God save you. You were baptized in, here in this church, Pacific Baptist Church. You know what? You have a covenant with this church. Covenant to be in the house of God every time the church door is open. Amen? We have that covenant with God. It's we call it church covenant. You know, Pastor, you know, it's sad to say, through my experience, those who have been a Christian for many years, those are covenant breakers. Because the Christians that are on fire, those are the younger Christians, those are the baby Christians, they're on fire. They want to be in church every time the church door is open. They read their Bible, they go to a soul winning program. But you know, those Christians that have been a Christian for many years, a lot of times, sad to say, those are covenant breakers. I want you to see the Bible says here, verse 10, "They kept not the covenant of God," notice here, "and he refused to walk in God's laws." Notice verse 11. Notice verse 11. Notice here, "and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them." A forgetful people. A forgetful people. You know, God has done so many great things. I mean, I can go on and on. I'm going to mention, first of all, from our, you know, ministry. You see, when it was 2006, when we started on deputation, God, we went on deputation here. Pastor doesn't want us to leave, but, you know, this is God's calling for us to start a church in Daly City. And I remember when we were on deputation, you know, there was a call, and the call says, "Sir, where's the church? I want to go attend church." And I said to the guy, "You know, we're still on deputation." And the guy said, "Today is Sunday, Pastor. I want to go to church." It was like a Macedonian call for us. So we stopped our deputation for 4 months deputation. You know, we start by faith. We started Harvest Baptist Church. And I remember for the next 4 months, we were renting a basement. It's like a garage that was turned into a church. And it was very small, you know, that could fit 40 people. And I could still remember, Pastor Myers, I could still remember, because it was a basement, it was a garage, the restroom is behind the pulpit. And so when someone needs to go, you see, it will get the attention of people, that guy will walk there. Could you imagine, you're preaching and the people, their mind is, that guy, what is he doing there? And then when he flushes, I mean, the whole congregation knows, oh my soul, we could hear it. For 4 months. That's why I would say, hey, before we start, you need to go to the restroom, amen? Wow, 4 months. After 4 months, we moved to a school. We started with one room. We've outgrown that room, and then we got another one. And then the school district gave us the multi-use room. I mean, from humble beginnings. And I could testify to you, God has done great things. I remember when we went to Daly City, we don't know anybody. If you go to that church, by God's grace, there's some people that are serving. There's some young people that are in Bible college, all of them, the whole family, serving the Lord. I could testify, friends, that my God is a great God. My God is a good God. I'm just saying tonight, God has done great things to us, to our family, to our children. God has done great things. I remember when God allowed us to be part of Pacific Baptist Church 2002. I could still remember God has done great things for Pacific Baptist Church. I remember when we started the Filipino ministry, how many people have been to the old building? How many people have been there in the old building, Pacific Avenue? We started that Filipino ministry there. Of course, the whole church helped us with saturation and so forth. Our first Sunday, we had, I think, 21. And then every Sunday starts to grow. I still remember when Pastor said that old building in Pacific, we're going to reconfigure the same thing as this. You know, we're going to put the pulpit in the middle of the auditorium. And I remember the Filipino ministry started helping, you know, putting the carpet. And I still remember when our first banquet, some of our members from the Filipino ministry started donating cars. And then the people starts to give cars. And I remember Pastor Esposito said, Brother Pichardo, I want you to be in charge of selling those cars. You know, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'm a car salesman. Amen. In the parking lot, there's some cars. And, you know, I will post, you know, all the numbers, all the information. And they will come. They will check the car. I could still remember. I still remember when God allowed us, God opened this door. I remember when we first went to see the building. And the guy that was in charge here, he locked the door. We could not, you know, open. We could not see it. And then Pastor said that we're going to paint the whole property. I mean, you know, I've seen it. Miracles after miracles. Friends, I'm saying tonight, God is a great God. Miracles after miracles. I could see, friends, I remember we have the office right here. This is the second, what is that, the office there? That second floor, pastor on my left, my office on the right, and then next to me, Brother Board, Brother Ross, Brother Tongdi, downstairs, Pastor Myers, and so forth, all the staff now serving the Lord in different ministries. I could see, you know, I could testify. God has been blessing Pacific Baptist Church over and over and over again. Miracles after miracles. If your family is here tonight, you're in one church serving the Lord, friends, that is a blessing. Plus the new building. Talking about the new building. Hello. Plus the new people. I'm telling you, friends, God has done so much, miracles after miracles. I want you to see here the people. God has been good to the Israelites. And in verse 11, notice what the Bible says here. And for God, his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Notice verse 11, verse 12, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with cloud, and all that night with the light of fire. The Bible was mentioning here all the great things, the miracles that God has showed them. In the morning, there's that cloud of fire, a pillar of cloud by morning, so that the heat, we could control the heat. But at night, that pillar of fire to guide them. And then he mentions here that God divided the Red Sea. I'm saying here, friends, God has done great things. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give thee great, notice here, and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Here, this verse is talking about the God that we serve. Our God is a giver of blessings. Everything that we possess, everything that we have, friends, those are blessings from God. Notice verse 11. And houses full of good things, which thou filledest not. Notice here, and wells digged, which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees. Here talks about those wells. It talks about the necessities of life. All the things that you enjoy, friends, those are blessings from God. I want you to see verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. God has done great things. God has done so many wonderful things. You know, the problem with some Christians is that there's always that tendency to forget. Tendency to forget. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It comes from God. Friends, your good health, your strength comes from God tonight. You know, your job, it comes from God. Your family, your children, your skills, your strength, your wisdom, the material things that you're enjoying, friends, it comes from God. You know, it's sad. You know, we're just like the people of Israel, a forgetful people. A forgetful people. God has been good to us. God has blessed us with so many things. And yet, a lot of times, we forget God. Notice in our text in Psalms, they were asking God in verse 20, can God, verse 19, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? It means, can God provide? Not only they're forgetful people, dead, but they're foolish people, doubtful people. A lot of times we're guilty also of the same sins. You see, God has been good to us. Many, many blessings. And yet, they were questioning God. Notice in verse 20, the last part here. Can he give us bread? Can he provide flesh? A forgetful people. Is that you tonight? Is that you? See, God has been blessing you. God has been protecting you. God has been, you know, faithful to you. God has been, you know, providing. And yet sometimes we are forgetful people. Is that you tonight? Doubting God? Can God provide? I remember when we were fixing the building, our building now. It was an old, dilapidated building. We have to raise funds, have our banquet, and start to, you know, so that we could beautify the building. And the city engineers, they were giving us a hard time. Every time, you know, we will submit a plan, they will, you know, cross it out, so forth. Always giving us a hard time. I was always on my knees praying. I was on my praying and praying. A lot of times you cry, Lord. I remember during one of those prayers, God put that in my mind to call our mayor. Because our mayor got saved in our ministry. She attended our our anniversary, my wife was able to share the gospel. She got saved. I sent her a gift, a King James Bible. She sent me a letter. The mayor said, "Pastor, from now on, I'm going to base my decision upon this book." Think about that. So I called our mayor. "Mayor, your city engineers, are giving us a hard time. I need, we're paying two buildings at this time. We need this plan to be approved." And the mayor said, I could still remember, the mayor said, "If you want something done, Pastor, call the city manager." And she gave me the number of the city manager. "By the way," she said, "I put that city manager in that position. So if you call her and mention that I gave that number, things will be done." Amen. Hello. So I called the city engineer. I mentioned, "Your number was given to me by mayor." Hello. The city engineer said, "Pastor, by this week, this plan will be approved." Hello. And from that on, we started the construction, full force. I'm saying, friends, God has been good. Amen. A lot of times, we are forgetful people. Is that you tonight? Friends, God has been good to you. I want you to see, secondly, in our text, first of all, a forgetful people, but secondly, I want you secondly here, a faithful God. A faithful God. Pastor Ray mentioned that verse. A faithful God. Notice in verse 5, "And he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." The Israelites, they've seen God keeping his word over and over again. Because our God, the God that we serve, is a faithful God. Even when we are unfaithful, God is still a faithful God. Notice in verse 22, "Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and he had given them of the corn of heaven, even though they will not believe, even though they will not trust in God, yet God cares for them, yet God keeps on providing for them, yet God keeps on meeting their needs, God keeps on supplying for them, God keeps on sending that manna." I'm saying tonight, friends, the God that we serve is a faithful God. Notice in verse 25, "Man did eat angels' food." Come on now, angels' food. I remember when we have our Filipino ministry, every first Sunday we have our potluck. I can still remember when we are here, we have potluck. And I remember every first Sunday of the week, our Filipino ministry grows. Amen. Come on, huh? Different ministers becomes Filipino ministry. Amen. Because of the potluck. Amen. We have angels' food right there. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22-23, that verse, it says, "Great is thy faithfulness." The God we serve is a faithful God. Amen? God's faithfulness simply means that he is 100% reliable 100% of the time. That is the God that we serve. He is 100% reliable 100% of the time. A faithful God. Someone says, "Life may not be fair, but God is always faithful." That is the God that we serve. Notice in verse 26. God is faithful in his provision. The Bible says here in verse 26, "He caused the east wind to blow in the heaven, and by the power he brought in the south wind and rain flesh or quails upon them." God is providing for them, keeps on providing for them. The God that we serve is a faithful God. He's faithful in provision. Faithful in his provision. I remember our second year in our church, we started having problems with our finances. I mean, it's not much is coming in. And there was a time when I could not even pay the rent. And so that night we were praying and praying, and I was praying to God, Lord, you send us here. You called us here. Lord, it will be a bad testimony if I could not pay my rent. I remember I got a call from my pastor friend, Pastor Fong. Pastor Fong called me that night. He was in China. Think about this. He was in China. He called me and says, Pastor, do you have a need? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you know, I'm in China, but God told me to call you because God said you have a need. And I said, Pastor, I cannot pay my rent. And he said, I'm going to send my deacon tomorrow. The check will be there tomorrow. Think about that. I'm saying, friends, our God is faithful when it comes to his provision. His provision. Do you have some needs tonight? I'm telling you, friends, the God that we serve can provide for your needs. God is faithful in protection. Notice in verse 51. And he smote all the firstborn in Egypt, in the chief of their strength, in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like flock. Verse 53, and he led them on safely. God is faithful in his provisions. God is faithful in protection. Let me say this. God is faithful to his people even if they are not faithful. That is the God that we serve. Notice verse 37. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, this is God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many times turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh. Even if we're not faithful, God is still there, faithful. One of the characteristics of God, he is a faithful God. I thank God tonight for his compassion. I thank God for his mercy, but I thank God for his faithfulness. Amen. Question is, are you faithful to God? There's no question about God's faithfulness. God is faithful to us, but my question is, are you faithful? Are you faithful to his word? Are you faithful to his house? Are you faithful when it comes to giving? Someone said, as Christians, we are not called to be successful, but we are called to be faithful. Someone says that God measures success in terms of faithfulness. God measures success in terms of faithfulness. Think about that. If God will measure your success, what will he? Will he find us faithful? I thank God because the God that we serve is a faithful God. The word faithful means dependable or reliable. God does not necessarily bless success or our talents, but God will always reward faithfulness. Faithfulness. Maybe tonight we could use this old-fashioned altar and just renew. Just renew. Just again, talk to God about faithfulness. The God that we serve is a faithful God. But the question is, are you faithful? I want you to see, first of all, a forgetful people. Secondly, a faithful God. But I want you to see, lastly, as we close here, notice in verse 3 down to verse 4, a forgetful people, a faithful God. But lastly, I want you to see a firm instruction. In verse 3, which we have heard and known and of our fathers have told us. I want you to see this phrase, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. In verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. I want you to see lastly a firm instruction. It was addressed to the fathers. It was addressed to the parents. It was addressed to the first generation Christian. Give the instructions to your children. This is very, very important. This is a firm teaching, a firm instruction. We will not hide them from our children, that they may know. Know what, Pastor? That they may know. That they may know the true God. That they may know the Savior. That they may be saved. That they will fear God. That they will serve God. You know, in the Olympics, there's the, we call it the relay race, you know. You run and then you have to be very, very careful in passing that baton. You see, to the next runner. And so, when it comes to our faith, a lot of Christians, a lot of parents are dropping the baton of faith to the next generation. Hello? I want you to see the survey here. Here is the survey. 95% of our kids grow up in church, goes to church regularly, 95%. When they reach high school, it's going to be dropped to 55%. I thank God for Christian school. We don't have Christian school. If you're in Christian school, you're blessed. Here's the survey, 95%. We'll teach them. They will go to church every Sunday. But when they reach high school, it will drops to 55%. Now, if they will starts to have a job, starts to earn money, it drops 30%. Especially when they reach, you know, the survey calls this the 20-somethings. The 20-something, you know, they think that they are better than everyone. They think that they're better than the pastor. Hello? But the survey says 9% goes to church. That's why the Bible says here, we will not hide them. Notice in verse 7 again, that they might set their hope in God. Not on their careers, not on money, not in education, not in their success, but hope in God. Daniel Webster said, education is useless without Bible, without the Bible. As I close tonight, instead of us saying, Can God? We should be saying tonight, God can. Say those words, please. God can. One more time. God can. Whatever you're going through tonight, God can. God can. God can create something out of nothing. God can move mountains. God could divide the Red Sea. God could provide those 2 million Jews for 40 long years without sickness. I mean, every day God is providing manna. I'm saying God can solve our problems. God can meet our needs. God can give us protection. God can give us strength to continue on. God can heal those diseases. God can revive the spirit tonight. God can put that fire back into your heart. God can save souls tonight. God can revive that spirit tonight. That's the God that we serve. God can. God can. I remember when we were starting 2007 in Daly City, I got a call from pastors. Sad to say, these are pastors, you know, from around the area. Someone says, he called me and said, hey, brother, you cannot build a work there in Daly City. You cannot have a building. Another pastor called me, he says, you know, no church will thrive in that city. Very, very expensive. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated again our 11th year anniversary. I'm saying, friends, God can. I was passing by. You have a beautiful building there. I'm telling you tonight, God can put you there in that building soon. That is the God that we serve. God can. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.